Before I get started tonight, I want to do something special tonight. These guys don't know I'm going to do this, but I know they'll cooperate because they're military men and they take orders. So Nate and Matt, I'd like you to come up here tonight because I wanted to pray for both of you. So this is Matt in the short sleeve shirt, and this is Nate in the flannel plaid shirt. Last time you're going to get to wear these civvies for a while, right?
For a little while.
You know, tomorrow I'll have to show up at your going away thing, and I have some special military gear I will be in. All right, I'm in honor of these two guys. These guys are being deployed for, is it 6 months or going to be eight? 6 months to a very dangerous part of the world that will remain unspoken. But the Lord knows, and I just wanted to bring both of them up here tonight and pray for them. I just thank God for both you guys. I want you to know this. These guys have been longtime members involved in the Rock. Nate and Courtney are married. We need to keep lifting Courtney up, too, because she's going to be all here by her lonesome. But not really, Courtney, because we're all here for you, right? That's right. But what's really awesome is that these guys are at the same church and are getting deployed to the same spot in the world. Are you guys even going to get to, like, you know, be in the same barracks? We'll call them barracks.
Not right away.
Not right away?
Maybe.
But you'd be, maybe.
We'll be close.
You'll be able to meet, pray together, hang out together, look out for each other.
Yeah,
right?
We've got some guys we're doing a Bible study with. So.
Awesome, doing a Bible study. We've got some angels watching out for you, too. I want you to know that. And I've got a drone that'll be spotting you wherever you go. So you guys better stay straight over there, okay? I know you will.
Yeah.
So I want to get between these two guys and pray for them because... we're trusting they're going to be safe, but as you know, the Middle East is a cauldron right now. It's on fire, and I thank God for these men and their willingness to go over and serve other people. Father, I just want to thank you tonight for both Matt and for Nate. And Lord, I just thank you for their commitment to Jesus Christ. First is their commitment to you, but there's secondly their commitment to serve others. And I pray, Father, that you'd watch over them in this dangerous, difficult part of the world. I thank you that they get to go together. It's just incredible. Matt's been before and was by himself, and I just thank you these guys get to be together. Encourage them, watch over them, use them as a light and a testimony for Jesus Christ. Not only, Lord, to fellow troops, but to others in the nation, the country, that may get to know them and see them there. We ask you to give Courtney special grace and courage, Lord, as just comfort her heart. Comfort her, remind her that you're going to watch out for her and her husband. Bless these two men, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys, man. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, you take care of that. You guys make sure to lift them up, okay? That's Matt and Nate. Please, if you do that every day, just say a word of prayer for them and ask that God would use them, because I know the Christian testimony matters more to them than anything else, and they want the Lord to use them. And at the same time, there's a lot of evil in the world, and I thank God for the young men and women who are willing to go serve. Sometime, Lauren, I'm going to bring you up here, not tonight, but sometime I'm going to bring Officer Lauren Peterson up here because she works in a very difficult area in North Minneapolis. And as you know, there's an awful lot of tension right now in many places, not every place, between cops and citizens. So if you'd remember to lift up Lauren too. She's out there on the streets trying to keep them safe, trying to help people. And the things she's had to see and witness, it would blow your mind. So remember to keep one another in prayer, okay? I also want to put in a plug for Carl's series next week. I've known Carl since he was a baby Christian, so to speak, since he was a kid. To me, 19's a kid. You're not really a kid. I was a man at 19, but you guys are kids. Isn't that the way it is? We all feel so grown up. Now I see so many 19, and I often wonder, I look to Kathy, you think they're in junior high? Or I'm sure everybody wondered the same thing about me, too, to be honest. They probably still wonder that. But I've watched Carl get married. I've watched him have four children, and I've watched the way he works. He and his wife work with their children. No family is perfect, but I tell you, he's a tremendous example. And I think you're going to find some really helpful insights from his parenting essentials. So I'd really encourage you to come. We've got, obviously, as you know, we got babies everywhere, and we got a baby being born right now, Jeff and Emily Healy at the hospital having a baby. And we got Ryan Arlene Pickett, and she's great with child. And we've had a few other people here great with child. It's going to be real important to understand how to raise those children. Anyway, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll kick in tonight. And I won't be going very long tonight because obviously we had other things. Father, I just thank you tonight, Lord, for the work you're doing in people's lives. And I thank you for the work you've done in Kevin's life. I've known Kevin, Lord, since he first started coming. And Roe would call me about Kevin, would you pray for this guy? And it's so exciting, Lord, to see what you've done in his life. I know some of the tremendous challenges that he's faced. It's difficult, Lord. It's difficult when our family doesn't understand that we came to know Jesus Christ and he saved us and he's changing our lives. But I just ask you to give him grace to love his family. You told us, Lord, to pray for our enemies and do good to those who hurt us. You told us to leap and jump for joy when people speak evil of us and malign us because of our faith in Christ, because great is our reward in heaven. So I just ask you, Lord, you'd work in his life. Bless the few moments that we have together tonight and impress upon our heart, Lord, this incredible lesson from Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we'll end this series, Profound Lessons from the Life of Jesus. And tonight is entitled, Ask, You Will Receive. Ask, You Will Receive. Now I want to read a text to you from the book of Matthew chapter 7. Now, obviously, you're thinking, well, he's going to talk about prayer. Well, I am. But I want to talk about it maybe in a little bit different way tonight. And I just want to think about that phrase, ask and you'll receive. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this, keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And the door is open to everyone who knocks. Your parents. So think about this for a moment. Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people, and he's teaching the disciples, and he's teaching the crowd, and giving them permission to come to God and ask for things. And for me, that's the first thing that kind of blows my mind. We don't really stop and think about it, you know, because most of us have maybe a religious background, or we've been going to church for a while, and we don't stop to see this text freshly. Jesus is saying to the crowd, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. And then he kind of looks out in the crowd. Imagine you seeing this on film, so somebody's acting it. Your parents out there. If your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for fish, do you give them a steak? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, if you're like many Christians, I'm not saying you are, but there are many Christians who read that and go, you know, Mark, that's one of those mystery passages. I mean, it sounds really great. It sounds really good, but I tried it and it didn't happen. It seems pretty straightforward. I mean, Jesus says, ask and you receive. But Mark, I asked. Well, let's say you thought you asked, but I didn't receive. I sought, but I didn't find. I knocked, but the door wasn't open. Then we go to Luke chapter 11 and we see this passage again. But there's a little more to it. Then teaching them more about prayer. So we know he's talking about prayer. Jesus used this illustration. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You would say to him, a friend of mine just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. He would call out from his bedroom, Don't bother me. The door's locked for the night and we're all in bed. I can't help you this time. But I tell you, though he won't do it because he's his friend, if he keeps on knocking long enough, he will get up because of the man's persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to us? So he uses the same analogy. For me, this has been one of the most profound and astonishing and incredible, not only lessons, but gifts that God has given to me in this 40-year, okay, 40-year journey of walking with God. When my son Micah, he's my youngest, and sometimes you see he's also the tallest in the family, and you've seen him up here do music. When he was about 10, I'm remembering 10 or 11, he may have it a little different, but it was right around 10, 11. He saw Jeremy playing the guitar. I play the guitar. I have a nylon string guitar. Jeremy had a steel folk guitar, it's called. Micah wanted an electric guitar. And about every week, he'd ask me for an electric guitar. Dad, I want an electric guitar. Dad, I was kind of old school. I'm thinking to myself, all right, why don't you start with what we've got? Let's see if you'd be faithful with what we've got. Well, that wasn't good enough. He wanted an electric guitar. Now, you have to understand a couple factors. The guy downstairs tonight, his name is Spencer. He was here just a few weeks sharing. I wished I could have got up and said something that night. Spencer's he's very precious to me. I led Spencer to Christ almost 20 years ago. Well, maybe 28 years ago. And the night that he was sharing, Doug was back playing the electric guitar. Spencer taught Doug how to play the electric guitar. My son Micah was up playing the guitar, leading worship that night, and Spencer taught Micah how to play the guitar. So here is my spiritual son, Spencer, who taught my physical son and spiritual son, Micah, to play the guitar, and Micah's leading the worship, and Spencer's up preaching. And it was a special moment for me seeing that unfold. Spencer's down tonight with his wife doing wordology for the kids. Micah just kept asking. He just, you know, this is the way little kids are. Have you ever noticed? Little kids have guts. They have guts and they have naivete. And they just think, well, you're dad, you're mom. And so, of course you care about me enough. So I'm just going to ask. And then they ask. And they ask some more. You've probably experienced this with a birthday or with Christmas or something they see at the store. You've probably even seen a child throw a fit in Target because of something they want. Micah, he just kept asking. And I just kept, well, I guess stringing him along. I'm like, well, why don't you try this, Micah? Why don't you try this? Well, see, he was going to Evergreen. I had started The Rock, and I would share. The Rock was Saturday nights, and so I would share Friday at Evergreen, Saturday at The Rock in Uptown, and Sunday morning at Evergreen. Kathy, Jessica, and Micah, they were at Evergreen. Jeremy and Celeste and I started The Rock together with a team of other people. So Spencer's up there every Sunday playing his electric guitar, see? And Micah just got hooked, and he saw it everywhere. He kept asking me. Finally, it was about a year. You think you've prayed a long time. He kept asking me for a year. So one day, I thought to myself, you know, Lord, I think I should probably do something about this. I think if I'm going to be the kind of father you are, you were using me as an example. Parents, if your child asks you for something, won't you give? How much more will your heavenly Father? And I started to reflect on so many of the answers to prayer that God has given me. Wow, and I'm going to go through some of them in a minute. But I just started thinking about all the times that I've asked God for stuff, and I thought, you know, this is an incredible opportunity to touch my son's life. So before I did anything, I made a special phone call. Because, you see, it wasn't going to be enough for me to get the right guitar. I needed to make sure I had the right teacher. and I wanted Spencer. And I knew Spencer at the time. He was full-time at Bloomington. At the time, he wasn't, I don't believe, pastoring yet, but he was our music guy, full-time music guy. So I called him up on the phone, and I figured he'd maybe do this for me, but I knew he was busy, and he had other students. So I said, Spencer, I'm thinking of getting Mike an electric guitar. If I do, will you give him lessons? Remember, I'm your spiritual father, and I've done a lot of stuff for you. No, I didn't say that. I just kind of left it. Pause there as I knew it would weigh upon him. And he just said, Mark, I'd be glad to do that. So I had it lined up. So I had the lessons lined up. So I said, now, Spencer, I got to be honest, I'm not really a big fan of electric guitars, but if I'm going to go get one, what should I get? I don't want to go out and make a mistake. He goes, let's start him on a Fender. You want to get a Fender? Fender or what? I forget. Strat. Fender Strat. That's what he said. I said, okay. Like a really expensive, because I want to do this right. He goes, well, now I wouldn't go get like the $700 or $800 or $1,000 one yet. I wouldn't do that. But he said you can get the imitation ones. I mean, they're still Fender, but they're made somewhere else. And I said, okay. I said, what kind of amp should I get? He said, well, you should get this kind of amp. So I picked out this snakeskin strap and this guitar, and then I hid it under these blankets. And I got all the family. We're all still at home then. Maybe Celeste had moved out by then. I don't remember. And he was 11. And so we all bring him into the living room. We sit him down. So he's like 11, right? Just a little guy. He shot up. And I just kind of looked at him stern, and I just said, you know, Micah, we've all been talking. You just got way too much time on your hands. And so I'll tell you what. We went out. We got you a guitar. But you're going to have to give me an hour a day on this guitar, right? 1 hour a day. It's kind of how you train them. You tell them you're going to practice an hour a day. Anyway, he goes over and he uncovers, he starts jumping up and down, and he's just ecstatic, and he did, for a long time. He practiced an hour a day, and then he got married, and I think he's kissing Leslie too much to practice. I don't know, you know. You know how that goes. You get married, the guitar, the girl, the guitar, the girl. I think go with the girl. I'm joking him. That's the way God is, and it's hard for us to believe that. That's the way God is. God has a father's heart. Now, not a bad father's heart, but a good father's heart. God loves to give. It's the nature of God. And Jesus tells us here, ask and you will receive. Now, the caveat to this is the word persistence. You can't stop. And I've learned this lesson in my life. I remember when shortly after Kathy and I were married, I was going through some very, very difficult financial circumstances. I mean, they were horrendous, okay? Now, I'm not just exaggerating, but my first year married to Kathy, we grossed. She could not work because we were in a car accident, no insurance on the car, so I had the medical bill, her college debt, and our first baby to pay for it. We had no insurance worth our first three children, none. I made $4,500 gross. I know that was back last century, you know, back in 1979, but that was not a lot of money. And we needed a place to live. The way we were surviving during this one phase is we rented a house with two other people, and they used part of the house, and we used the other part of the house. But after a year, they decided they needed to leave, and I couldn't afford the house myself. So I began to pray, as I had done many, many times, but I began to pray. And I began to pray, Lord, I need a house. Lord, I need a house. I pray, Lord, somehow you just come through and give me an affordable house that could get this. I was paying $120 was our portion, and that was just barely had enough to pay $120 a month. We'd had our second child, so now I had two hospital bills I was paying. Celeste and Jeremy, I was paying $10 a month to Mary Greeley Hospital in Ames. I was driving the 1966 F-85 Oldsmobile, maroon, with faded spots all over it, and three-speed on the column. You've never seen one. You have to go to a museum. Sometime, Google it, and you'll find it. You don't have to go to the museum. I forgot you can use Google. And so I'm praying, and I'm going to my job, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I kept praying. Now, God, he has this amazing way of doing stuff, right? And sometimes it doesn't happen. Just like with Micah, it doesn't happen. But he was always moving my heart. Every day it tugged at my heart. I was just trying to figure out, you know, is he really serious about this? Is he really going to use it? Will he really practice? I don't know. I just didn't feel led at the time to just immediately say, all right, let's go get it. So I'm praying. So out of the blue, okay, out of the blue, my dad, okay, so quick story, my dad's abandoned the family. My father, I was gone from home, but I was the only one gone. And shortly after his first granddaughter, Celeste, was born, he leaves my mom with 5 children. He just leaves her. He gets in his pickup while the kids are watching him out the window. He loads it all up. He doesn't say goodbye. He drives. That was almost 30 years ago. He's never been back. Never sent a dime home. My mother had never worked outside the home. My mother had only been through the 8th grade. He left her penniless. And so I've not seen my dad. I don't know. He's just a vagabond. And so I'm got my own issues going on in Ames. And right while I'm in this desperate situation needing a house, my dad calls on the phone. And this is what he'd do. Hey, Mark, I'm in Ames. Just passing through. Thought I'd come and see you. This just happened to be on a Saturday. I'm like, okay, great. Come on over. You know, I didn't hate him. I mean, he was a fool. He did a terrible thing. But he brought me into the world. And there were some things he taught me for his life. The wheels went off him. So we invited him over and he's staying in our house. Well, the next morning, Sunday. So he wasn't going to come to church with us. So Kathy and I, we head off to church. We get home. And my dad goes, hey, Mark, some guy called you about house. Yeah, something about wanting to give you a house. You have to understand this. I've only seen my dad twice. In the last 38 years. And that was one of them. He happened to be home. It was the days before an answering machine. He decides to answer. I don't know why. He could have just let it ring and ring and ring. So he's sitting on the couch when I'm calling this guy, and he gave me the guy's name, and I'm like, I didn't recognize the name. So I thought, well, you know, this was the day before cordless phones, cell phones, so you're kind of trapped standing right there talking on the phone while who's ever there is hearing the conversation. So I thought, well, I'm gonna believe this for all it's worth. That's exactly what I thought. So I got on the phone, and I said, yeah, this is Mark. And he goes, Mark, this is Dale. You remember Dale? He told me his last name. Well, yeah, Dale. He goes, Mark, I was wondering if you want a house. I said, well, what do you mean? You got something to rent? He goes, well, here's the deal. He said, I got this mobile home. I got this trailer. He said, there's nothing fancy, Mark, but I moved out of it with my wife and my daughter about 5 months ago, and I've been trying to rent it. Nobody wants it. Trying to sell it. Nobody wants it. And we got us a double wide. See, they moved on up to a double wide. And I said, well, so my dad, you know, he's sitting on the couch, right? He's eavesdropping. And I knew that. I said, well, how much do you want for the house? He goes, you misunderstand. I want to give you the house. And I said really loud, you want to give me a house? My dad, I could just see, you know, I'm watching out of the corner of my eye. Because, see, my dad used to taught me about my faith. See, my dad hadn't left yet before I started falling with Christ, but my father was an absolute, had turned absolute, we use the term reprobate. I mean, he'd just gone the opposite way, and he hated God. And he had seen my life change. I mean, I was not a pleasant teenager, let's just put it that way. I made my mother and father's life very, very difficult. And when I came to Christ, I mean, I was all in. And I'm following the Lord, and I'm honoring my dad, and I'm honoring my mom, and I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm doing laundry, and I'm cleaning the house, and I'm vacuuming on Thanksgiving. I'm making everybody dinner. My dad's like, and I'm working out at his little factory. He had this factory. He's like, what has happened to this kid? Well, Jesus happened, Dad. Jesus happened. And he'd swear at me. He said, oh, I don't want to talk about that blankety-blank God stuff. And then I used to tell him, you know, what God was doing in my life. And he'd say this, just wait till you get married. Just wait till you have kids. Then you'll find out. You don't look out for number one, Mark. Manna doesn't grow on trees. Money doesn't fall down from the sky. God won't take care of you. See, that was all the background. That was all the background. So God was setting me up. Of course, in the meantime, I'm just a little kid of God's asking for a house. I need a house. I don't understand all that he's trying to do at the time. Brings my dad into the picture. He's sitting on the couch. I hang up the phone. He goes, "What the hell's going on?" That's what he said. I'm just quoting him, by the way. I said, I'll tell you, Dad. I said, "God's just amazing. Oh, give me that. What's going on?" He said, "Well, a guy wants to give me a house." "Well, you know, it's a trailer house." He goes, "Why the blank didn't you take it?" I said, "Well, you know, Dad, one of the things I've learned in life is I probably ought to go see it first. You know, I got a wife and all that, Dad. I'm going to have to sell this." She wasn't in the room at the time. "I got to sell this whole thing. I better find out what I'm getting into first." I said, "Hey, you want to come look at the house?" He goes, "Blank, yeah, let's go see that house." So it's the last thing my dad and I did, right? That was a long time. So we're driving over my F-85 Oldsmobile, right? We're driving over to this house, and we pull up this hill, and it's kind of a dumpy trailer court. Derek Powers used to live there. He knows. Ask Derek. He's an eyewitness to my suffering, aren't you, Derek? No, bless his heart. He was just a little kid. He thought it was great. It was a kind of up in the woods, and it was one of those places where all the pavement where you park had dirt piles, you know, and the weeds grew up out of the pavement. And then right over the edge of the pavement, people threw old concrete and junk and old beds. But when the weeds grew and the trees got green, kind of covered it up. So we move up, and I'm looking at the little trailer. I'm like, "Well, you know, it's gold and white, and it's got a little red steps that go up to the front." And I walk in the trailer, and, well, the carpet's new. You know, some of the old paneling was peeling, you know, peel. But they peeled it down, and then they just stained what was there. I'm like, "Oh, well, okay." So I walked around. Okay, you ready for this? 520 square feet for five people. Well, Jesse was born while we lived in that trailer. And so he told me, "Mark, it's $73 a month lot rent." I'm like, "Well, Lord just gave me a raise. I was paying 120, so now I'm down to 73. That's 50 extra bucks almost in my pocket." And so had a little tiny yard. It'd take literally 1, 2, 3 passes. It was mowed. So Kathy and I took that house. I could tell you story after story after story like that. My father didn't fall on his face right there and turn his life back over to Jesus, but I got to tell you, it was sweet justice, sweet vindication to the man who was always telling me, "God don't look out for you. Man, it don't fall down from heaven. You got to look out for number one." And here's God right in front of my dad's face like, "Hello, there's a house for your kid. And your grandbabies if you care," but, you know, he didn't really care at the time. The other day, some of you know Jeremy, he started a new nonprofit, my son Jeremy, called the Salvage Project, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to prisons, and he's been doing a lot of prisons. They go in and do concerts, and they share the gospel with the inmates. And so he's got a website, and he's got an email, salvageproject.com email. And over this last year, he's gotten thousands of emails, right? The other day, he's working on the computer right in front of the screen, and as he's doing an email, they all just disappear. He's like, "Oh my gosh, they're gone. They're all gone. Thousands and thousands, they're gone." He's got a little box that has terabytes for backup. He's got every file backed up. He pays a company to back stuff up. They lost it. It's gone. It's gone off the computer. The backup of the backup, it's gone. They're all gone. He can't find them. He calls me. It's kind of a heavy moment. I mean, it's like, "Dad, I don't even believe." He said, "All my web design work, I never had anything this kind of catastrophic." I'm like, "Wow, son," he says, "Well, I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. Mom and I'll be praying. So he had to go to Chicago this weekend, and he called me today at 11:30. He doesn't usually leave a message. Today he left a message. But I didn't listen. I just called him. He goes, "Dad, they're all back." I said, "What? They're all back. It's incredible. It's just inexplicable." I said, "No, it isn't. Your old grandma and me prayed Mama and me been praying. We've been praying. We've been asking because I knew these were really important. You had context on there you didn't have before. God cares about the things in your life. I want you to know that. Jesus was trying to make this clear. We are his little children, and he cares. I could tell you stories of houses he's provided, cars he's provided, salvation for all four of my children. Not only salvation, but praying for years that they'd all follow Christ and want to serve Christ. Spouses for all four of my children, Christian spouses. Oh, and they happen to meet them all here at the Rock. I could tell you stories of finances that God's provided for our churches, facilities. I could just go down the list, and then I could just talk about the simple things that just very personal things that were just special to just me that like, wow, it happened. It happened. Big or small, God cares about the issues of your life. And I just want you to know that tonight. I want to challenge you this summer. I want to give you a little challenge. I want to challenge you for this entire summer to take 10 minutes a day and talk to God and bring your requests to God. And if you don't have a good memory, I have a pretty good memory. I don't have a perfect one. Write down your requests in a notebook and keep track of the answers that God brings to your life. Ask him. I was with a young man the other day, been mentoring, and he's praying for a job. He just got out of a long-term training program. He needed a job. He needed a car. Just some amazing answers to prayer. God moves. God orchestrates. God turns things around. God is your ally. But don't give up. Some of you know, I don't have time for this story because we're out of time, but my daughter, one of the classic examples for me of persistence. I prayed for that girl every single day, many days an hour, and many days in tears because of her suffering and her health and her pain. 6 years, six and a half. Finally, and I mean during that time, it got worse. Like sometimes I'd send out a prayer letter, and Kathy would actually come to me and say, Mark, after about the 10th one, every time you send them out, they get worse. I'm afraid to send out more prayer letters. We just kept sending them. And we just said, because I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. And I don't care how bad the devil tried to freak us out, scare us, how worse it got, I was not going to stop asking. He invites us to ask. I knew I was in the will of God to ask. And I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask. I can't control the timing of God, but I'll tell you what, he ain't going to shut me up. And this is the example that Jesus gave of the persistent widow. He tells the story to pray and never give up. Pray and never give up. Pray and never give up. Bug God and ask him. And ask him in humility, ask him, and ask him, and ask him, and ask him. You'll be amazed what God will do. Father, we thank you tonight that you're a good God, you're a loving God, you're a compassionate God. And I didn't write these things, Lord. I'm not misinterpreting what you say here in plain English. Keep on, the term means keep on asking. Keep on keeping on seeking. Keep on keeping on knocking, and you will receive. You will find. The door will be open. Father, thank you for your kindness. Lord, it's all about your kindness. It's all about your generosity. It's all about your goodness. Work in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.